even though we know it's not right. We still go forward. We live in a fog of denial. Welcome to this podcast of My Inner Torch. Living in a fog of denial. What do I mean by that? Well, I can probably replace the word denial with acceptance. And this is the big thing that we really wrestle with, is once we come out of the fog, once we see the lay of the land, once we kind of accept the person for who they are, or do we accept the person for who they are? Do we accept our cluster B? Even though we're so willing to put labels on people. Oh, my wife is a narc. My wife has got BPD. We seem to put the label on there and then we kind of go into denial and we wait. And I've done countless podcasts on the waiting aspect of things. Let's talk about accepting. So I wanted to read something to you that I found on a bulletin board, because you know, I'm out there checking out the bulletin boards, checking out the forums, being inspired and being, I think, shocked at seeing how many people out there just don't get it. And I think it's a fact of them not wanting to get it. So accept the cluster B for who he or she is. What does that entail? Well, the cluster Bs are totally incapable of love and deep connection. They are totally incapable of that. And again, that spans the entire genre of cluster B, in my humble opinion. I don't think a borderline can truly love. I am convinced that a narcissist cannot truly love. They're just incapable of love and the deep connection that comes with it. So why do we expect them to love us? Why do we create a fantasy? Why do we create a delusion thinking, oh yeah, no, they love us. They love us because look what they did when we first met. Well, that was a complete act. It was a complete mirage. They are not capable of sustaining what they think in their mind is a loving relationship, because if you can't do it, then you can't sustain it. It is an act. Nothing you did or didn't do would have changed the outcome. So again, this is all part of the acceptance part of our relationships with our cluster B. We seem to take the blame. We carry the blame. They project the blame onto us. They tell us it's our fault. Everything is my fault. With my wife, things that happened in her life that I was not even around, somehow, some way, is my fault. You are not loved for you as a person. You are viewed as an object and loved for your utility, not your individuality. And again, I'm going to take out that word loved. They don't love you. I will replace that word with used you. You were viewed as an object and used for your utility, not your individuality. So the things that are really attractive about you, the things that you bring to the table, are used and abused by the narc and or the borderline. That's why they are attracted to you. You are the best version of themselves that they can never attain. So this is why they kind of mirror back to you the qualities that you bring to the relationship. And then, you know, they can't sustain it. It's not sustainable for them. So maybe you see a version of yourself for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and occasionally, like a specter, they will reflect back to you that image of you somewhere down the road after they've abused you, after they've detached from you, after they've discarded you. And in case you don't realize it, this is really an S show of a relationship. It's a relationship. Excuse my French. That's what we call it. You were used for the perks you were able to provide. You were their human helium tank that maintained their inflated view of themselves. They feed off of you. They take your positivity and they turn it into toxicity. Eventually, you become a shell of your former self. You lose your identity in the never-ending quest to win their unattainable love because they just don't know what love is. So you're never going to get love from them. Will you get lust? Will you get insecurity sex to make up and not let you go? Yeah, you might. And then you will be reignited like a junkie getting a fix when they breadcrumb you and you're going to think everything's okay. The writer goes on to say, I know it sounds harsh and it's a very painful realization to accept, but the acceptance of this fact is also the very thing that will accelerate your healing and set you free. And that's the truth. Throughout 160 plus podcasts, I've gone from hope to acceptance. And acceptance is very difficult. Right now, I'm basically in my relationship and I find myself not attracted anymore, not really feeling like the person that I thought my wife was and I was attracted to is not there anymore and has been gone and dead for many, many years, probably for almost two decades. And yet now I find myself looking at her and accepting my feelings, not denying them. And that's probably what you're doing. You're not accepting, you're denying. Because you can't believe that you fell into this situation. And that somehow, some way, it's going to be redeemed with their false love. Somehow, some way, they're going to shapeshift into the person you thought they were. And I've told you countless times, and I think repetition is definitely in order here, that what you fell in love with didn't exist. You know, how would you feel if you put money in a bank account and you were told, this is like a Ponzi scheme, this is like an emotional Ponzi scheme, you put money in a bank and you were told, you know, you're going to get 100% return. It's unfathomable, it's unbelievable, but you were convinced, the person told you, the banker told you, give me your money, like the cluster B does, demands your emotional support, your financial support, and I will return to you love, like the return on that bank account. It's just not going to happen. It's an emotional Ponzi scheme. It just won't happen. And you're going to continue to invest and be told, well, you're not even told. See, this is the funny part about it, is that you get your return is abuse. Neglect. And I think somehow, some way, it's a human nature on our part as empaths, as people that are ignorant emotionally, that the more they abuse us, the more we want them. We all want what we can't have. Have you ever thought about that? We all want what we can't have. If there's an attractive person in the room, you sit there and say, well, gosh darn, no way. But I really want that person. That person is beautiful. That person conducts themselves in a way I could see myself with them, but there's no way. And chances are there isn't any way. But we want it. We all strive to be rich, perhaps, financially. We all strive for the bigger house on the hill, knowing that it's going to be out of our reach. And some of us just don't accept reality that perhaps we won't be millionaires or billionaires. This is why people buy lottery tickets. You know, with the hope and thought and fantasy. And that's what we do with our cluster B. We buy into these relationships. And then when they go south, we just still stay around because we believe on some level that it can't be. They were once upon a time a certain person, but now they're not. But you know what? I know that that person's in there. That person is not in there. The person that you saw, that you fell in love with, that love bombed you, sex bombed you, is laying in reserve for their next victim. They are storing up their energy and their desire for somebody else. Chances are. Or, listen to my podcast, Waiting to Die. There are those that will kind of stay with you. Maybe they're not necessarily going to monkey branch. Maybe, like in my case, my wife figures, you know what? I don't want to go through that again. This guy's an idiot. He's stupid. He's a patsy. I can take advantage of him and he will continue to walk the path of ignorance. And that's okay. Although I will tell you, in my thought process with my wife, who I suspect is a covert narcissist, but doesn't matter whether she is or not, that I think she does see cracks in the veneer. She does see a certain apathy on my part. And that has caused her pause for alarm. And she is looking for reassurance that perhaps we will move forward in our whatever we have here, roommateship, somewhere else. And then maybe, well, if something else better comes along, she'll kick me to the curb. These are the facts that we have to take. These are the facts that we need to accept. The veil of ignorance needs to be lifted, folks, because you will never heal if you remain ignorant to their ways. And most of us do. New episodes uploaded each and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. MyInnerTorch@gmail.com. Please, if you do get a free moment, leave a review on whichever podcast platform you're listening to My Inner Torch on. It goes a long way to spreading the word. I want people to be enlightened. I want people to understand their predicament. And I want people to be able to at least accept and heal so that you become a stronger person, if anything, and can deal with what these people do to us in their abusive manner. Be well, and in whatever you do, be good. This has been My Inner Torch.